Good morning to all of you. It is just such a privilege and a pleasure to be here this morning, to see all of your beautiful faces and to know that you're here because you love the Lord and you want to please Him and glorify Him in your lives. And it's really an added blessing because the church where we are now, if we had a program like this, we'd have two moms because we only have two preschool kids in the whole church. So it's just beautiful to see you all here this morning. So as Don mentioned, my four kids are basically grown. I just graduated my youngest from homeschooling in May, and so I'm currently unemployed. And I wanted to know where my cap and gown was when he went down the aisle, because I felt very accomplished, but I didn't really deserve it anyway. So here I am this morning, but I have to give you a little warning. I was an elementary school teacher, and I worked with kids most of my life, and my husband has warned me that when I speak in front of people, I speak to them as if they're in second grade. So forgive me if I come across that way this morning. I'm trying not to speak down to you, but it's just kind of how it comes out. So just give me a little grace there. So this morning we're continuing in our study of Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. The older women are instructed to encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So today, I'm here to encourage you to be sensible and to be a worker at home. Now, I kind of laugh at the way the NIV translates this, because it says the older women are to urge the younger women to be busy at home. Is anybody out there not busy at home? I think if you're a mom, you're busy, period. But I remember when my kids were about the ages of your kids. I had 5-year-old twins and an 18-month-old and a newborn. So we cranked them out. We had 4 and 5 years. And I just remember one day after dinner, sitting down and looking around the house and just seeing all the things that I hadn't gotten to that day, all the things that were undone. And I just was feeling so discouraged. But then I started daydreaming about, oh, what my life would be like when my kids were all grown. It would just be so awesome. I would just take care of everything. And for some reason, even though I didn't have time to take care of all the housework, somehow I had time to write this poem. So I'm going to share it with you this morning. You know, Leah talked about priorities, right? It's called Always Behind. At the end of the day, I wander and see all the jobs to be done that are calling to me. The dishes are dirty, piled high in the sink. But the baby needs changing. The girls want a drink. The house is a mess. There's mending to do. My son needs a bath, and I'd love one too. Maybe I'll get to read my book soon. But tonight, once again, I'll read Goodnight Moon. I've got a long list of thank yous to write, but I'm too exhausted when I have time at night. The laundry is sorted all over my bed. There's not even room to lay down my head. I've heard about people surfing the net, but I haven't had time to try it out yet. I'd love to just sit while I chat on the phone. Maybe someday, when my kids are all grown, that's when my life will finally get better. At last, I'll have time to write that long letter. I may even start to wear makeup again and put on nice clothes to go out with a friend. And maybe I'll even get somewhere on time, since the only shoes to put on will be mine. I'll have plenty of time to put photos in books and cook gourmet meals like those real gourmet cooks. The floor will stay swept, and maybe, who knows, there'll be no more piles of dishes or clothes. I won't have to leave all those duties undone. I'll finally have time to take care of each one. I'll be so efficient, never missing a beat. Every room in my house will always be neat. Oh, who am I fooling? Now just never mind. Even without kids, I'll still be behind. So clearly, I was no expert on managing the home when my kids were little. And I have a confession to make. I am still not a super organized person. Now, things have gotten a lot easier. I do only have to put on my own shoes when I go somewhere, and that does make things easier. But things are still a struggle for me. But with God's faithfulness in my life, with help and with hard work, I've managed to navigate through all the different seasons of being a wife and being a mother. And I figure if my kids have never gone hungry or naked and we've managed to stay off the hoarder show, then I must have done something right. Okay, but even just preparing for this talk this morning has been a good reminder to me of making sure that how I spend my time, how I spend my money, how I manage my home shows the condition of my heart to the Lord. And I want to do those in such a way to bring him honor and glory. But I remember the days that you're in right now with raising little ones can be especially challenging. So our passage again in Titus 2 says that you young women are to learn to be sensible, or as the ESV translated, self-controlled, and workers at home, recognizing that your home is your main responsibility. So with both of these qualities in mind, being a sensible worker at home, we're going to be talking about being good stewards of our time and our money with a desire to be good stewards of both, to honor God in them. And we want to make sure our heart is in the right place. And then we'll finish our time talking about doing meal planning, because that's going to help you manage your time and your money well while you feed your family. But before we get into that, I want to remind you that our God is a sovereign God. And he has ordained your times in your life. He's even decreed where you live and all of your circumstances. He loves you. He died for you. He has called you to be his child and to the role of a mother, which is the highest calling and the toughest job in the world. He has made each one of you unique and ordained your specific situation in life. No two of us here or anywhere are exactly alike. And I have identical twins, and they are so different. And just like we are different. Some of us are neat freaks. Some of us are messy. Not that you're always messy, but you tend toward messy. That's me. My husband's the neat one. Do you know which one you are? Some of us are early birds and like to get up first thing in the morning, and some of us do better at night. We all have different children, different ages, different numbers of children, children with different needs, and that makes our life different. Some of us have husbands that are home a lot and can help out with things, and some of us, our husbands just can't. They have to be away. Some of us are more relational, like Mary. Some of us are more task-oriented, like Martha. And some of you are out there, it kind of seems like what Leah was talking about, are those sequential thinkers, where you like structure, you like organization, you like that schedule and how it brings order into your life. And some of you are like me, and you think in a random way, and you struggle with the confines of a structure, and you need a little flexibility, you need a little freedom and independence in your day. All of these differences and many more are going to affect how you handle the tasks of homemaking in your home. But I didn't always understand this. I remember when I first started homeschooling, there was this mom in the homeschool group. Well, she wasn't in the homeschool group, only she ran the whole thing. That I just admired so much. She had 6 kids, close in ages to my 4, and hers were always well-behaved. She planned their curriculum out completely, in detail, in advance. She would rise early every morning to get all of her housework done, and she would plan her meals out 6 weeks in advance, and we would joke in our homeschool group, all the other moms, when we grow up, we want to be just like her. But I realized I really wasn't joking. I thought that her life was what my life was supposed to look like. That was the right way a life should look. And I tried. Any curriculum she recommended, I did it. Recipes she cooked for her family, I tried them. She showed me how she scheduled all her kids' coursework, and I tried to do the same thing. And I couldn't do it. It was a struggle for me, and I felt like a failure. It was a long time before I realized God did not make me like her. He did not make me her. her life was not supposed to be my life, and that I needed to learn how God had made me to know how to take on the tasks that he's called me to do. So it's like Leah mentioned, we compare ourselves so quickly to other moms, and they might be very different from us, and then we make judgments about how we're doing based on what we see in their lives. Well, let's lay that aside this morning as we talk about managing our household well. Keep in mind that you are unique. You are beautiful. And what works for someone else isn't necessarily going to work for you. And what someone else's home looks like and how it's ordered may be very different for what works for you. I kind of like David's approach when he was getting ready to battle Goliath. And Saul was there with his kingly armor and offered it to David to wear in the battle. And so David tried it on, and he decided it didn't fit. And he would rather face Goliath unprotected than try to battle him in someone else's armor. So just as you pick up things and as you see things in other people's lives, feel free to try them on for size and see if they're a good fit for you. But be willing to take them off if they don't fit you well. So let's turn back to Titus 2 and being a sensible worker at home. The study note in my Bible says this: keeping a godly home with excellence for one's husband and children is the Christian woman's non-negotiable responsibility. So basically, managing your home well is your main responsibility. And simply making sure you are home enough to manage those tasks is pretty important, because God tells us to be workers at home. That's got to be pretty significant in what he's saying here. And that's a challenge. There's so much that pulls us away from home. The Proverbs 31 woman looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She should be an example to us. Proverbs 14:1 states that the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her own hands. And 1 Corinthians tells us that God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, and that all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. Colossians 3:23 and 24 exhorts all believers in that whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And that's in our housework and our home management as well. So moms, we need to work hard managing our homes in such a way as to please and glorify the Lord. This is God's will for us. Managing our home is our primary responsibility. And when we manage our homes in an orderly way, we fulfill God's will, we model his character, we bless our husbands and our children by bringing peace and reducing chaos and confusion and stress. And we are then better able to help others to be used by God if we have things running orderly. It's a big job, isn't it? We're serving our husbands. We're caring for and training our children. We're managing the home. We're shopping, cleaning, cooking, doing the laundry. We're managing our finances. It's a full-time job. And that's not including any outside activities or commitments you might have. Well, as I mentioned earlier, the word sensible in the NASB is translated self-controlled in the ESV, and I think that's very fitting. It implies being able to say no to our own desires, putting others' interests ahead of our own over and over and over again. In fact, when my kids were little, I used to tell myself that mom stood for move over, Meredith, because their needs always came ahead of my own. It's a very sacrificial calling, right? And we're going to need the Holy Spirit working in us to be able to exercise that self-control to accomplish what is glorifying to God in our homes. Now, a lot of managing our households well comes down to being wise with how we spend our time and wise with how we spend our money. And when I think about time and money, it struck me that they have a lot in common. They're both resources that God entrusts to us to meet our needs and that we can share to help them meet the needs of others. We need to be good stewards. God cares very much about how we use them, but we can easily spend them both without thinking about or praying about whether or not we're doing so in a way that pleases him. We need to give God our first in both areas. And unfortunately, time and money are both finite, and we wish we had more of each because it's so easy to waste them. But having a plan for how you spend them both will help you to spend them wisely. Proverbs 20, verse 18 encourages us to seek counsel when we make plans. But Proverbs 16, 9, which was already mentioned this morning, reminds us that the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So we trust in his sovereignty, even when our life doesn't go according to our plan, because it's going according to his. And one thing that seems to make it tricky to manage them both wisely at the same time is something that saves you time usually costs a little more money, right? Something that saves you a little money is going to cost you some time. So it's kind of a juggling act. But let's move into time management. On your handout, I've listed the verses that Leah mentioned that shopping for time is based on, Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17, which says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So when we look at this passage and other ones I've mentioned, these are some biblical principles that God wants us to use our time wisely in order to accomplish his will. And his will for us as wives and moms is to manage our homes well, working as unto the Lord. We should seek wise counsel in order to plan our days, but we should ultimately trust God's sovereignty in how our days turn out. So in order to make sure we make the most of our time, as Ephesians 5 states, we need to determine what our priorities are. Where is our time going? Where do we want it to go? We want to spend time with the Lord. We want to spend time with his people. We want to make sure we have time to love and serve our husbands and to love and train up our children. We need enough time to manage our homes. Some of you might be involved in ministry or outside activities, and some of you may even work inside the home or outside the home. And that's a lot to fit in every day. And somewhere in there, you need to be taking care of yourself. So with all of those priorities in mind, how's it going? How are you doing being a sensible worker at home? Do you consider your home to be your main area of responsibility? Are you spending enough time there to get things done that need to get done? And do you keep your priorities in mind before you add new activities or commitments into your schedule? Just some good questions to think about. So let's talk about scheduling. Scheduling basically is a plan for how you're going to spend your time. And I think it's kind of funny how a schedule works, because you're telling it what you want it to tell you need to do, and then you do it because it told you to. But hey, that works great, right? As I mentioned before, I'm a random thinker, though, and schedules are hard for me. If you're a sequential thinker, this is where you're going to thrive. Making out those schedules, getting all those things jotted down, bringing order to your day. I just am in awe of you. That is awesome. But if there's anyone else out there that's more a random thinker than I am, these are tricky. But schedules still, even for people as random as I am, are so helpful. I just find I need a little wiggle room, a little more flexibility, but I still need something telling me what I need to be working on every day. So just keep that in mind. When you're wanting to put together a schedule, making sure you're getting your priorities set, keep in mind, do you work better with a very detailed schedule? Is that going to work well for you? Then go for it. But if you need a little flexibility, leave it in there, because you're more likely to follow a schedule that fits your personality and your thinking style than trying to find a schedule and follow it that really doesn't fit you. I've learned that the hard way. You need to make sure you're fitting in your schedule all the things that need to be done on a regular basis, and then see if there's room to add those other things in. Because taking a little bit of time to plan out your day, plan out your week, is really going to help you to save time overall, because things are just going to run more smoothly. Now, on the back of your note-taking handout, I put two very brief examples of schedules. And one is just taking basic household management tasks and assigning one to each day, getting all the laundry done on one day, getting your errands done on another day, and things like that. That's a pretty easy way to try to make sure you're getting things done. But I can't do it that way. If I woke up one day and it was bathroom cleaning day, I would die. So my bathroom cleaning schedule is right below that. And I'm so dense, I had to come up with a little alliteration there. So Monday, I clean my mirrors. Tuesday, I clean my toilet. Wednesday, I wipe down the counters and the sink. I can tell you the whole thing. Thursday is throwing out the towels, throwing in the towels, throwing out the trash. That's what works for me, because I can do that in 5 minutes a day, and it doesn't hang over my head, and I don't dread it. I have a really hard time taking a whole task and doing it start to finish. So it was really helpful when I finally realized that and thought, this is what works. Now, if you're not wired like me, you probably think I'm just kind of crazy, and that's okay. But I just want you to know that we are all wired differently. And if something is really hard for you to stick with, maybe it's not the right thing to try to stick with. Try something else. Just find out how has God made you and try to work within that. So there you go. Remember that anytime you say yes to something, you're basically saying no to something else, right? You can't say yes to everything. Your time is finite. So you always want to remember what your highest priorities are. Make sure you're saying yes to those, because if you say yes to something else, you might end up eliminating something that you really need to be doing. Anybody, a list maker out there, like to start the day with the list, love to cross off the stuff that you've done? Oh, isn't that a great sense of accomplishment? That's a great way to face every day, just to make a list of all the things you know you need to do, the things you like to get done, and just keep checking it throughout the day. Pray over it, as Lee was mentioning, to make sure those are the things that God wants you to do that day. And the things that get left over, don't stress about them. They just go on the list for the next day, right? Now, something that was very helpful to me when our kids were babies was to actually put them on a schedule, which is funny because I'm not good with schedules, but it really worked for us. And then I pretty much knew when my baby would be napping. Napping and sleeping, those are the same thing. Napping and or need to eat, when they'd be awake, and when I could have one-on-one time or one-on-two time. With twins, it's a little different. That was very helpful. And as our kids got older, we still tried to keep routine in their lives for when a nap time was coming and keep things like that. It really helped me to have a sense of order in my day. And I think it helps our kids, too, to have that sense of order. It doesn't have to be totally structured and strict. But it would have been very hard for me to raise little kids and have no idea of what was coming next. All right, so, but with all that in mind about schedules, you may have the same thought that I do when I try to put together a schedule, that, okay, if I can just plan this out perfectly and think about everything, then once I get started, it is going to run smoothly forever and ever, amen? Or at least I'll get through a week. And it doesn't work that way, does it? Something comes up. And even when we're staying on top of the things that we have control over, there are just so many things outside of our control that mess up our schedule. You've got a baby that starts teething and they're not sleeping at night. Or you have a sick kid who now they need your attention when you weren't expecting that. Or somebody that needs a little extra child training on the side that you hadn't scheduled in for the day. Or an appliance that breaks when you need it, like when our stove exploded this summer and shattered all over the floor. Okay, that's going to make things tricky. These things happen. How do we react when we thought we had a plan? We had it all worked out. We were going to get everything done, and something unanticipated happens. Do we give up? Forget it. The schedule doesn't work. I quit. Or do we have the attitude that that was in God's sovereign plan for my day? Do we take a breath and say, okay, time to regroup. I'm not going to let it get to me. I'm just going to go forward. Just keep in mind that He is in control. And I can stand up here and tell you this. You don't have to know that I'm not good at this all the time at home. It's hard. It's very hard. But try to have that mindset that we plan we make our plans, but God guides our steps, and we need to trust Him. When things don't go according to our plan, that's okay. We need to trust Him for that. Now, when we get these wrenches thrown in the works, it's kind of tough. But if we have a plan and we're really focused on our priorities, we should be able to get back on course, right? And kind of stay on top of things. But if you're consistently struggling with managing your home well, you kind of need to ask yourself why. What's going on? Are you in an especially busy season that hopefully will be temporary, difficult time? When I wrote that poem, Always Behind, I was busy with 4 little kids. But that wasn't it. That wasn't all. My husband, how can this happen? All these years later, had was recovering from cancer surgery and radiation, and he was flat on his back all day. And then I came down with strep throat. It was tough. I could barely stay on top of life. I mean, I didn't stay on top of life. And I had sweet friends that would come in and take my older kids out to play. They'd bring me a meal to help me just survive, to feed my family. But there was a lot that we didn't get done around the house. I just had to wait till we were past that season. And I was feeling better, and Dave was back up on his feet. Some of you might be in a season like that, or you've been in one before. You just need to give yourself grace. You're not going to be there forever. Those things can be left for a time when you're better able to take care of them. But I will give you this advice. If someone offers to bring you a meal or to take your kids, say yes. It's too easy to say no and think, no, we don't want them to know how hard it is. No, we're supposed to take care of this ourselves. And I had a friend chase me down in the church parking lot. I am taking your girls with me. Because I said, no, it's fine, it's fine. And it wasn't fine. And that's one of my sweetest memories, is the photo she took, taking my kids to the duck pond and feeding the ducks, because she knew that's what I needed. But I confess, there are times when I'm not staying on top of my housework, and it has nothing to do with a difficult or busy season. I'm just being lazy, or I'm spending my time on things that aren't as important. And that's when I really need to stop and think, well, where am I spending my time? Is it too much away from home? Because even though my kids are grown now, I still have a bunch of them at home. I still need to be home a lot to run things there. Or am I home, but not focused on what needs to be done? I really need to check, where is my heart? What are my priorities? And refocus on those and make sure I'm taking care of what needs to get done. All right, so just a quick look at some of the things that are priorities in our life. We need to be spending time with the Lord. And that's easy to say, and we know that that's what we need most, but it can be so hard to find the time to do what you think you should be doing when you spend time with the Lord. So often I thought, well, this is what I want out of a quiet time. Oh, it won't fit here. Oops, it didn't fit there either. And then the day is gone. Rather than saying, I can't do that, but I can do this. I can do 5 minutes here or 10 minutes here. And I've got to do that, and just letting go of this expectation of what the ideal devotional time looks like. And I love this. A long time ago, a friend told me that the best way to raise kids is to beat them up every morning. Get up before your kids, right? Yeah, it took me a minute when she said it, too. Make it your goal to be up before your kids, to get that time in before they're clamoring for your attention. It's not always possible, but try to make that a goal, because that's your best chance, right, for getting that time with the Lord. And make sure you're not skipping out on church on a regular basis. You know, stay connected to the body, to God's people. So you're going to nourish your soul by spending time with the Lord. You also need to nourish your body by taking care of your physical body. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20, Paul writes, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." I love how Elizabeth George explains it in her book, Life Management for Busy Women. She says, gaining mastery over the body is an important part of every woman's life. And then she asks, why? Fortunately, she answers it too. She says, just how do all those good housekeeping chores get done? How is a smooth-running household built and maintained? How is a lifetime of meals planned, shopped for, prepared, and placed on an eye-appealing table 2 to 3 times a day? How are solid, affectionate relationships nurtured and developed? How does everyone in a family, including extended family, get prayed for, cared for, carpooled, loved, and tended to? How does all the giving that God asks of his women get given? The answer somehow seems to boil down to energy, not only spiritual energy, but also physical energy. So moms, you need to take care of yourselves. Are you getting enough sleep? If you've got a baby that isn't sleeping through the night, you aren't either. You need to nap when your baby's napping. And if there's days when it's just not going to work for you to get as much sleep as you like or as you need to just ask God to give you the grace to make it through that day and then go to bed early, right? You need to be nourishing your body by making sure you're eating healthy foods and drinking your water. Make sure you've got them on hand. I know it's so easy when you're rushed and when you're tired just to be putting anything in your mouth because you need something. But try to make an effort to feed your body well so that you're strong. And you also want to get a little bit of exercise. Some of you are probably really good at doing that, and others just need a little encouragement just to get out of the house, put your baby in the stroller. Even if you're walking laps around the mall, that counts. Just keep your body working. I did a lot of laps around the mall when my kids were little, and it was hot outside, and we would just walk. And my daughters grew up thinking the only thing you went to the mall for was Auntie Anne's, because we wouldn't shop anywhere, but I would buy them a pretzel. All right. Even our Proverbs 31 woman dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. So now that you have fed your soul and you've nourished your body, dressed yourself with strength, it's time to tackle all of those household tasks. Woo! I just have a few things to touch on. I'm hoping, because our time is short up here, that you can share great ideas at your table. But just remember that God is a God of order, and keeping an orderly home will model his character, but it'll also save you time. If you have, you follow that motto, a place for everything and everything in his place, which is a great motto. I just can't always, follow it. But every time I find that perfect place for something and now things are where I expect them to be, my life is better. You know where your car keys go? I was babysitting for a friend the other day and she went to grab her keys and she didn't know where they were. And she probably normally does. But they were not even downstairs. They were, just think about those things that take up your time. Is there a way to bring more order to that area of your life? Like when I cleaned out I hate to call it a junk drawer in the kitchen, but you know what? It's that beautiful drawer of all those useful things you need, except I had 10 times as many as everything that I needed in there. And that just makes me happy every time I open it up, that I know exactly where things are that I need and I don't have too many of them. So look for areas in your life that just taking a few minutes can bring a little bit of order that'll go a long way. You want to tackle simple tasks when they come up and not put them off till later. And this took a long time for me to realize that if I fold the laundry when it comes out of the dryer, I'm way ahead. Yeah. It's so much easier. But for a long time I thought, no, it's better if I just let it all pile up and do it all at once. Well, that just kills you. And I just feel like laundry is like breathing, that you just need to be doing it all the time or you're going to die. So just stay on top of it. If you've got a big task, you want to do it when you've got the most energy, right? But keep in mind that you don't have to pick a big task and do it when you can do it start to finish. Well, some of you might be, I can't do it that way. You know, keep in mind that just 5 or 10, 15 minutes a day on a task, you're going to get big things done over time. And that's how I clean my bathroom floor, scrubbing the grout 5 minutes a day. And I could never have done it start to finish, but it was done. So just think about those big things that are hanging over you. Don't say, oh, I'll put it off till I can do it all at once. Start chipping away and it'll start to bring peace and order to your life. I already showed you the two schedules on the back. That sometimes you can break things up into smaller things like cleaning my bathroom. Multitasking is great, I've heard. I'm not really good at it. You're going to wonder why they asked me to come up here. I ask myself the same question. But I have mastered this. I can brush my teeth and make my bed at the same time, and I feel awesome. So there might be things in your life that you think, wow, I could do two things at once. That's about as far as it goes. I can't even chew gum and walk at the same time. Make sure whatever things you need to get your tasks done are right where you need them. If you got more than one bathroom, just get supplies in both of them. When I didn't have a pantry and couldn't have a broom hanging close by, I saw someone else that just had a little dustpan and a broom right under a kitchen sink. I thought, that was genius. I didn't have to go out to the garage every time. So just keep them handy. It's going to just make your life so much easier. Find ways for your kids to start helping with when they're little, right by your side when they're small, and then give them their own daily chores as they're old enough to do them. But just keep in mind that sometimes it's okay to get in some extra help. There was a time when I was busy with outside commitments, and my kids were too little to do very much of anything. And we had a house cleaner come in twice a month just to make sure all the cleaning got done, and that was with my husband's, not only his support, his suggestion. But that was during that time. You know, beforehand, I didn't have those commitments, and afterwards, my kids could do those things, and we could work on it together. So just, are you in a season where maybe you just need a little extra help? There was a time when I had a friend, and we'd swap kids every Friday, and we'd go get our errands done while our kids were playing. Made it so much easier to get all those things done when I didn't have to take my kids along. If you're struggling to get your errands done, or if you just want to drop your kids off and go home and have a quiet time and clean your bathroom, I don't know. That's not what I would do. But think about just ways that might make it easier. It's okay. You're not required to do everything on your own forever and ever. Find ways to make it work. And my husband has been a huge help over the years, especially when we were so busy with homeschooling. The house was not going to be clean every time he came home, and I knew that that was okay with him, and he would come in and pitch in. So, you know, if you're struggling, and it's that season of life, just find ways. How can I make this easier? But remember, your clean house is not your goal. Shouldn't be an idol. It's not the end of the world if you don't get all those tasks undone. I love the sweet reminder from the final verse of Song for a Fifth Child by Ruth Hulbert Hamilton. She says, "The cleaning and scrubbing will wait till tomorrow, for children grow up, as I've learned to my sorrow. So quiet down cobwebs and dust go to sleep. I'm rocking my baby, and babies don't keep." All right. What time am I shooting for? Do you have a time? Okay. Again, why am I up here? It's time management, and I can't manage my time. All right, we'll just go as the Spirit leads. Okay, we're going to move on to money management, because being a good manager of your home isn't just about getting the stuff done. You need to be wise about how you spend your money as well. I love how our Proverbs 31 woman handles her money. She buys, she invests, she trades, and she makes a profit. And she also has plenty to share with those in need. So as women with a heart to please God, we also want to be good stewards of the money that He has entrusted to us, providing for the needs of our family, helping to meet the needs of others, and to do it in such a way as to honor the Lord. Now, in regards to household finances, it is important to remember that you need to be in agreement with your husband on how the money is spent in your home. According to Ephesians 5, the husband is the head of the household, and he should take ultimate responsibility for making sure the family's financial needs are met. So even if you contribute to the family income, or you're the one that actually does the bookkeeping and gets the bills paid, you need to remember that you need to be under your husband's leadership in this area. But even if you're not paying the bills, you're probably spending money, right? And you want to be a good steward of what God has given to you. God's word has so much to say about money. Clearly, our relationship with money matters very much to Him. The passage on your handout is 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 10. It says, "But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. In this passage, we see that contentment is so important. And we ought to be content, according to this passage, even if we only have the basics. We don't want to be lovers of money, as that has the tendency to draw us away from the Lord. So here are some other biblical principles regarding money. We want to honor the Lord with our wealth and give him our first fruits. We should be giving generously and cheerfully to meet the needs of others. We should use caution when going into debt, and we must pay our debts when they are due. We shouldn't hoard wealth. The book of James warns us against living in luxury and self-indulgence. We should not seek to gain possessions in order to impress others, according to 1 John 2. And how and where we spend our money shows where our heart is. We really need to examine our hearts regarding the finances that God has provided and how to be the best steward possible. We need that heart of gratitude and contentment. Discontentment with our financial situation stems either from misusing the money that God has entrusted to us or by believing that God hasn't given us enough. And we want to make sure that we aren't looking for satisfaction in stuff. We want to find our satisfaction in Christ alone. So it's important to keep in mind the difference between necessary spending and discretionary spending. What you're spending on things you need versus what you're spending on things you want. And I like to think of it as, am I spending for life or spending for a lifestyle? You want to keep those things in mind when you're making decisions as to how you spend your money. We want to make sure we're not spending too much on just maintaining a lifestyle, especially if we have some motivation about just trying to keep up with those famous Joneses, you know, and they're not happy with their stuff anyway. We don't want to be like the people that Will Rogers pokes fun at when he says this: too many people spend money they haven't earned to buy things they don't want, to impress people they don't like. But we don't want to spend money to impress people we do like either. That's not the point. So what is your current financial situation? Do you and your husband have a good handle on your finances, and are you in agreement? Are you able to live within or below your means? Are you giving to God first, and are you able to give generously and cheerfully? Are you paying your bills on time? Are you staying out of debt or working to get out of debt, and are you able to save? Well, let's start by looking at where our money goes. These are our spending priorities. We need to be tithing or giving to the Lord. We need to feed and clothe our families. We have lots of household expenses, either a mortgage or rent, utilities, repairs, insurance, etc. Some sort of transportation, and if it's a car, it comes with insurance and gas and repairs. You also want to be tucking money away in case of an emergency and saving money for any future expenses. And on top of that, we usually like to have a little money left over to make our lives a little more enjoyable, right? A little treat every once in a while, or saving for a vacation or something like that. So let's look at budgeting. A budget is a plan for how you spend your money. You want to manage your money well. And if you're struggling to live within your means, or you want to get rid of some debt, or you just want to get a better handle on your finances, a budget can help you to figure out where your money goes and where you can adjust your spending if necessary. You need to do this with your husband, sitting down with your husband. It can be on a plain piece of paper. It can be on an Excel spreadsheet. It can be on, there's a free budgeting tool on Dave Ramsey's website. My son even has that Mint app on his phone and tracks his spending. So there's lots of different ways. Find a way that works for you. You need to keep track, listing all of your monthly income for an average month. You're going to tally up all your monthly expenses, and then you're going to subtract your expenses from your income. Very simple. And your money should come to a zero. Your money's going somewhere, right? If you end up not having as many expenses as your income, hallelujah, that money needs to go somewhere. It's going to go in savings. It's going to pay down debt. It's going to go somewhere. But if you find that you have more expenses than money, then you're going to have to adjust. And there are basically two ways to do that. You need to increase your income or decrease your spending. You're not going to want to start using your credit card just to make ends meet, because that's not really making ends meet. So some ways to increase your income, some of you probably already do this, you might find some part-time work, a part-time job. You can sell some things you don't really need. They can be big ticket items, you can have a garage sale, you can put things out for consignment, whatever. There are lots of ways to do that, and I've done all of those at different times in my life to bring in some extra income. But it might be that you really need to cut your spending, and there are lots of ways to do that. Here are some general ideas for cutting your spending. Basically, you're going to need to pay attention to which of your expenses are necessary and which ones are discretionary, and look for ways to reduce those discretionary spending things. The most effective way is to do without something that you want. Learn to exercise the self-control in that area. Say no. You know what? No. We're going to live without this. Then you've saved 100% of that money, right? One of those things that tends to eat up a lot of, well, that's kind of a little pun I wasn't intending, but eating out is very expensive. If that's become a habit, find ways to maybe eat at home more and cook more from scratch. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. Can you borrow something that you need instead of buying it? Maybe you only need it a couple times. Do you know someone has one? Borrow it. Or can you buy it secondhand? You can buy a used car. You can buy used furniture. You can buy used clothes and books, all kinds of things. And you'll save so much money. If you do need to buy something new, find a way to buy it when it's not full price. You know, using a coupon or buying on sale or buying when things are on clearance. Keep your eyes out for things that you know you need or you know you can use. And really try to stay away from just buying it without regard to price. And buy the things when they're discounted. Again, you don't want to buy things just to maintain that lifestyle. If you're needing to cut your spending, those things are going to have to come out. And if you find that you're spending a lot of money just entertaining yourselves, then find cheaper ways to do that. You know, movies are a killer. Maybe it's time for a Redbox instead of going out to the movies. Not that that always has to be the case, but if you need to bring down those expenses, there are so many ways to do it, and sometimes it's going to take a lifestyle change. One final thing is if you have monthly expenses, car insurance, car payment, phone plan, your mortgage or cable TV or whatever, things like that, if you can reduce any of those expenses, you're going to save money every single month. So look for ways to cut those expenses, and then you're going to be good in those areas. So one final reminder from Scripture about how we spend our money. Matthew 6, 19 to 21 says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We want to remember that earthly treasures do not last, not a single one of them, but our heavenly treasures will last for eternity. All right, we're going to wrap up this morning by talking about something that can save you time and money, which is meal planning. Because you probably already know that feeding your family takes a lot of time and money. So not only can meal planning help you save both, but you'll probably end up feeding your family healthier and tastier food too. If you plan your meals ahead of time, you'll be bringing peace and stress into your... Bringing peace and reducing stress in your life. But just keep in mind that making a meal plan doesn't mean that you have to start cooking really fancy meals and trying out a new recipe every night. You can keep making those family favorite tried and true recipes. And my husband reminded me recently that when the Israelites were wandering in the desert, God fed them the same thing for 40 years in a row. And when they complained, they were sinning. So God had every right to feed them the same thing. Now, you may want to change it up a bit, but don't feel a lot of pressure, because it was good enough for God. All right, so just some general tips for meal planning. The first thing is you need to decide how you're going to plan. I plan for a week. I think my menu planning sheet is on your table. That's what works for me. Some people like to plan 2 weeks in advance. Some like to do the whole month. It just works better. Figure out how you're wired and what works for you. Decide if it's good enough to plan dinners and just kind of throw breakfast and lunch in there, or if you really want to plan those out as well. I've seen 3 meals a day menu plans, and that's what works for some families. Then decide how you're going to record your plan. I showed you what I've got there that works for me, and then I keep it at a clipboard in my pantry. I've seen people post a calendar on the refrigerator. I've seen really cutesy things that are too hard for me to keep up with that are adorable in the kitchen. What's going to work for you? Is it keeping it on your phone? Are you going to check it? Is it something you do on your computer that you're going to remember to check? What's going to work for you? That's where you want to plan your meals. And then you want to keep it as visible as possible to remember what's going on in your meals for your family. But remember, it's not set in stone. You can plan them all out completely, but have the flexibility to switch things around throughout the week so that it fits with how your days are going. Now, to choose your menus, I just have a couple of suggestions on how to pick what to put in your menu. First of all, you want to make sure you know what you've got in the house. What's in your refrigerator that needs to be used? Anything in your freezer that's been in there a while? What's in your pantry? You want to use those things. You don't want your things to go to waste. And I actually typed up a list on my computer that I update every couple weeks of what I've got on hand to remind me, oh yeah, I have that, those sausages in the freezer. I'm going to make a meal out of that. Or I look in there for, oh yeah, I forgot to cook that last week. Let's put it on this week's plan. So first of all, start off, what do you already have? What do you have to work with? And use those things. And then I like to take a look at the grocery store ads and see what's on the front. Is chicken on sale this week? Is it pork? Is it beef? That's going to be the best deal, and that just gets my mind going, well, that's what I want to cook because that's where I'm going to get the best deal. Plan around those things. You want to make sure you're doing your favorite recipes in there too, because those are going to be the easiest for you to carry on, the ones that you've done over and over that you know your family likes. Just keep those recipes accessible, whatever works for you, so that it's not tough to pull those up. And then you want to pay attention. Oh, wait, what's on my calendar this week? Oh, I'm going to be gone all day that day. That's a good day for the crock pot meal. We're like, oh, my goodness, I really don't have a lot of time. What's the quickest thing that I know how to make? That's going to go on that day. And save those new recipes or ones that are a little more elaborate for days. You know you're going to have time to pull those off. So keep that in mind, because you don't want to have that complicated meal on the day you didn't realize, oh, my goodness, I forgot. So keep that in mind. And just one recipe source that I would highly recommend is allrecipes.com. It's on the back. I cannot tell you how many recipes I've pulled from there. If I know I want to make something, but I don't know how to make it, I search for that. Or if I look in my cupboards and go, okay, I have this, this, and this, but not that, I pull up the ingredient search and put in the 3 things I have and the 2 things I don't, and it'll tell me what I can make using those things. And I just love it. Even after all these years, I'm still thinking, okay, what do I do with leftover biscuits? And I come up, oh, biscuit bread pudding. And I made it not too long ago. My family loved it, but they weren't going to eat the biscuits. So it's just a great resource. Once you have your menus planned, you need to make your shopping list. And it's helpful for me to have them on the same page so that there's no disconnect between the two. And I have broken them up into categories to help me with my shopping, so that when I head to the store, I've got all my meat things in one section and all my produce things in another section. So just try to be as organized as you can when you're making out your shopping list. Make sure you're including everything you need for those recipes. And again, your shopping trip is going to go so much easier if you've got it organized by categories. All right, so now it's time to get the menu plan onto the plate. Because a meal plan is great, but if it doesn't end up as being dinner on the table, it didn't do you any good. So you need to get your shopping done. Again, the more organized your list, the quicker that's going to go, and the more prepared you're going to be to make it through the week. I just grab my clipboard. It's got my menu plan and everything, and I just take it with me so I make sure. I need to tell myself when I'm in the store, don't leave until everything is crossed off. And there are times I have to go back to that aisle because even though I was right there, I forgot it. So I just, not that it always works. I sometimes still have to go back. But I try to look again one more time. Did I cross off everything? You want to keep your meal plan visible to remind you after dinner every night. You can check it. What's for tomorrow? Do I need to pull something out of the freezer? Is it a crock pot meal? Should I pull the crock pot out and put it on the counter to remind me? When you're in the kitchen doing other things, serving breakfast or lunch, is there anything that you can do to help prepare for dinner? Can you wash the lettuce for your salad? Can you wash a lot of lettuce so that you've got salads for a few days? Anything you can do ahead of time or in bulk is really going to help you out in the long run. And one thing that helps me out a lot is just, like I said, keeping things stocked. If my pantry is well stocked and well organized so that I know what I've got, that's really going to help me. Do I have basics in the fridge at all times? Do I have things in my freezer that I know I could turn into a meal if I needed to? That has gone such a long way as keeping dinners on the table in my family, even with a meal plan. Sometimes you just need things that help you be a little flexible. Now, I just want to wrap up with one final thought about feeding our families, and it's what to do with leftovers. Because I have met people who just don't do leftovers, and that's fine. I do. I love having leftovers. But I just want to encourage you, if you've got leftovers, you want to put them in something that you can see what they are so that you don't forget what's in there. It drove me crazy. I was working in a camp kitchen this summer in Alaska, and they put all the leftovers in. They were, what do you call it when it's not clear? It was in those things. You couldn't see what was in there. So I love clear plastic, clear glass containers. So you see what you've got to remind you to use it up. And if you're not going to use it quickly, wrap it up and stick it in the freezer, because those things can really help you get another dinner going. And this was so interesting to me. I was reading John 6 recently when Jesus feeds the 5,000 plus, maybe even up to 20,000 people with, what, 5 loaves and 2 fish? And what happened? There were leftovers, right? What did he tell the disciples to do? Go gather them up, because he didn't want any of it to be wasted. I thought, he just fed 20,000 people with one guy's lunch. Why is he worried about wasting leftovers? But it was something he had provided, and he didn't want it to be wasted. So that's just a good motivator to me. Why should I feel comfortable throwing out food when Jesus didn't do that either? So just a little something extra in there that God showed me recently. I always thought, wow, that's amazing, 12 baskets of extras. And I never thought, oh, they actually used them. There was a purpose. Well, I just want to finish up. I feel like this has been a sprint this morning, a lot of stuff. And I thank you for being such great listeners and being so gracious with me as I tell you some of the things are kind of silly about me. We've talked about being sensible workers at home, managing our time and money well, and some meal planning tips. I just hope that even though it's been such a rush, that I've been able to encourage you in some way to press on in these areas, to honor God as you serve him in this way. If you find that some of these areas are a struggle for you, I would just encourage you to seek counsel, maybe from your mentor, mom, or a friend, to talk these things over with your husband. Find someone who can maybe help keep you accountable, and keep seeking the Lord and asking for his strength to do what he has called you to do. And I want to finish this morning with one final encouragement from 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 4. God promised us this. He says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. God is in you, and he has given you everything you need. I just pray that he would richly bless you as you endeavor to bring him glory in every area of your life. Thank you.